When a friend of mine who's involved in the San Francisco hospitality industry recommended that I meet and visit with an incredible woman named Jo Licata, who's Hilton San Francisco Union Square's full-time community projects manager. She explained that Licata's full-time mission is matching the needs of the nonprofit community with the hospitality industry in San Francisco. Frankly, when she told me this, I was a bit jaded and thought there had to be some self-serving angle on the part of Hilton, as we are all so jaded by the too often heartless attitude of corporate America. After spending 3 days with Ms. Licata, there's no doubt at all that the Hilton Hotel Corporation's mission to empower Ms. Licata is truly greater good.
The vision was made very clear to me, to be a good neighbor. And don't worry about promoting the name. If we're doing the right thing, good will come back.
Licata meets regularly with the nonprofit community and gleans their list of needs that might include food, kitchen supplies, furniture, coffee makers, or mini fridges.
One of the most important things I do to help the nonprofit community of San Francisco is I work with many of the hotels in the city and help them properly dispose and donate of excess goods and supplies.
Just one example of many of the projects birthed by Licata at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square in partnership with numerous hospitality enterprises throughout the city is the reuse of old banquet linens that have reached the end of their useful service life. Through projects created by Licata and her partners,
they craft fashion from old banquet linen. And they provide banquet linen to use as canvases. So there are many uses. As a matter of fact, we have some tote bags.
And it gets better. Jobs are also created by those who are hired to sew the bags. And as a note, one of the first things that you're taught as a professional journalist is to get 2 outside sources to confirm the truth. And I did just that. I spent 3 days visiting with numerous key personnel in the San Francisco nonprofit community, including St. Anthony's Kitchen, Food Shift, Food Runners, Safe House, Scrap, and the SF Carbon Fund. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Jo Licata at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square as she shares her incredible passion and the numerous community greater good projects she has envisioned and stewarded over the past 20 years. Jo Licata has a unique position in the hospitality industry, and that's as a full-time community projects manager. Wow, this is really cool. I'm so glad I met you.
My pleasure to meet you too, Tom. Thank you and welcome to the Hilton San Francisco Union Square. Yes, I am very honored to be the community projects manager at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square, a position I've had for over 20 years now. The position was created by our former general manager, our former director of public relations, director of sales and marketing, to really put a human component to the hotel in terms of reaching out to the community, bringing the community to the hotel, and the hotel to the community. Really, putting what I like to call the heart and soul into our hotel, which is, by the way, the largest hotel on the West Coast, 1,919 guest rooms.
Wow. I think the most fascinating dimension of your world I've learned over the last 24 hours is this is truly a greater good vision of the Hilton in San Francisco. This is not a self-promoting marketing ploy by any means.
Well, you're exactly right. When this position was offered to me, I was a little hesitant to take this on because I had a sense that, well, am I supposed to be doing this and just to promote the Hilton name, or I was a little reluctant about that situation and the fact that it would be a little self-promoting. But the vision was made very clear to me, to be a good neighbor. And don't worry about promoting the name. If we're doing the right thing, good will come back. And my role was to simply figure out how to best work with our neighbors, how to engage with the community for the benefit of our hotel, our team members, even our customers, and the neighborhood and our community, the community of San Francisco.
As you started rolling and figuring it out, what were some of the first projects that you decided to target?
Well, one of the first things I did was engage with the volunteer center and talk to them about becoming a member, and I did. I was actually involved with the Volunteer Center of San Francisco for many years and still have many friends and associates.
Volunteer Center is kind of a clearinghouse
volunteerism? It is. And I thought that would be a good place to start to learn more about the nonprofit community of San Francisco, and especially about some of the nonprofit service agencies that are within the neighborhood of our property. So that was one of the first places. And then simply going to our neighbors, going to the door and introducing myself and asking them about their programs. How can we get engaged with you? What are some of the things that we can do? Coming back to our hotel, offering opportunities to our team members for volunteering in the community. And it sort of grew from that. And the mandate was simply just be a good neighbor. And then over the years, as I've been able to work with some of these remarkable agencies, and you're going to be talking to a lot of the folks that we work with almost on a daily basis, you'll see what remarkable work they do for our city, for our neighborhoods, and for our citizens, and even the guests in our city, and how proud we are to be associated with them and to help in the ways that we can. Sometimes it's by donating food, sometimes by providing in-kind. One of the things that I have the pleasure and honor to do, and one of the things that I feel is one of the most important things I do to help the nonprofit community of San Francisco, is I work with many of the hotels in the city and help them properly dispose and donate of excess goods and supplies. What will happen is that I'll get a phone call or an email from a neighboring hotel. They'll let me know that they have certain items that are available for donation. And since I've worked with many of the nonprofit service organizations, I know the types of things that they might require or need. Or they will have come to me and said, Joe, if you hear about dressers or lamps or tables, please let us know. So I make those connections. That's very rewarding. You come in on a day and maybe the day's not going so well. And then you find out that one of our neighboring hotels has 200 banquet chairs, and gee, do I know a place that might be able to use them? Well, maybe a week earlier I had heard from one of our community partners saying, Joe, if you ever hear about banquet chairs being available, let us know. So that's wonderful. It makes me very happy to do something like that. It's very rewarding. I'm going to talk about something that isn't the most glamorous item on the list, but partial rolls of toilet paper. This is something that everybody needs. And this is a commodity that I am very interested in helping our nonprofit service agencies get because it saves them money. I work with large office buildings in the city. I work with other hotels in the city when they have partial rolls.
I need to interrupt for a moment because that's a fascinating little nuance of the hospitality industry. Somebody checks into a hotel and they're paying, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 a night, and there's this little minuscule worn out toilet paper roll in the room.
No, not gonna happen.
So every time the housekeeping comes in, there's a new roll.
Right, absolutely.
But nobody thinks about, well, what happens to the little dead duck roll?
Yes. Yeah. The partial, still viable. Somebody can use that. It's certainly not glamorous, is it? But it's certainly a need.
But so, if you think of all the hotel rooms in the city, how many partial rolls is that?
And think about the large office buildings. I mean, the cleaners go in the evening, right? They will extract those rolls that are less than 3/4. They don't have to throw it away now. They're so wonderful. The property management folks will... Joe, we have 10 big garbage bags full of partial rolls, and that's bonanza. That's a great commodity for something. The question that no one needs to ask me is, Joe, can you use... The answer will always be yes, because somebody can always use something.
Let's talk about reuse. Yesterday, you were talking about tablecloths that became something really cool.
Right. Old banquet linen has a lot of history. A lot of wine has been spilled on banquet linen. A lot of wonderful meals have been served on banquet linen. But there comes a time when they're no longer suitable for display. What do you do with all this linen? Well, there are some amazing people in this town who harvest banquet linen from my hotel, from other hotels, and they make things like tote bags. They craft fashion from old banquet linen, and they provide banquet linen to use as canvases. So there are many uses. As a matter of fact, we have some tote bags. So it isn't just the commodity and reuse. The thing is that you have this commodity that is then created to a product that gives people employment as well. So you're continuing this cycle.
And training.
And training, absolutely. So I like to have, I love the fact that there are tangential benefits to all of these things. Some of the people that you're talking with, the training programs they have, it's very heartwarming to know. Because in the hospitality industry, it's important for us to know that our guests love San Francisco and want to come back to San Francisco. So the issues that we have, as most major cities have, people who are on the street, it isn't something that we just want to talk about. We want to help find solutions, but we also want to work with agencies that are really making those solutions and working with the people who've made that quantum leap to get help and go to these nonprofit service agencies that provide the type of help that will get them into housing, job training, and getting them the health care they need.
Right here, we're in the heart of Union Square, and within arm's reach is the legendary or infamous Tenderloin. Mm-hmm. Within eyesight of this hotel, it's really a microcosm of the world.
It is.
You have some of the wealthiest people on planet Earth that are walking out front, right. Some of the most exotic shops you'll ever find anywhere in the world, and you'll have some of the poorest, disenfranchised people within the same greater neighborhood.
Right.
So you do projects, outreach, that are just blocks away.
Exactly. Well, let's look at San Francisco, 7x7. We're only 49 square miles. So, of course, we're going to have businesses and institutions very close by to the service agencies that provide the good for people who need that type of help.
Give us some specific examples.
Well, for example, we have Glide Memorial Church, a neighbor.
That's like 10 feet away.
That is very close to us, and that makes it convenient, too, for when we have items for donation. I have a very good relationship with the kitchen manager at Glide. One phone call and leftover box lunches will be feeding people that afternoon. And that's a good thing to know. We have miraculous organizations that help people. You're going to be talking to some of them. In addition to Glide, St. Anthony Foundation, Safe House, wonderful food recovery programs that you're going to be talking to. Food Runners of San Francisco, a longtime partner of ours. In fact, they're here almost every day making pickups. So, yes, the proximity is such that it is convenient for these organizations to come and make pickups, and it's also easy for us to go there and volunteer for a couple of hours.
In what ways does the Hilton share and utilize their reuse and excess?
Well, let me tell you about a couple of other interesting things that will be happening quite soon. We have a wonderful ballroom, and we have wonderful ballroom operations, sound and light equipment. We're going to be replacing that, so I'm going to have the opportunity to donate sound and light equipment to some local theaters and to some local schools that have musical theater programs, which makes me very happy to be able to partner with schools as well. When we are renovating rooms, we often have furniture that we'll be talking to Safe House, and you know that we'll find out they need dressers, so I'm always on the look for furniture to give to the communities and the housing groups that have SROs. Now, remember, an SRO, single room occupancy room, they need small furnishings. Last year, we had a bonanza, and I'm going to mention a competitor because they did a wonderful job. The Marriott were renovating their rooms, and they had over 2,000 mini fridges to donate. That, what a bonanza for the community that was. So I worked very closely with them in getting those items donated, and the SRO communities and the nonprofits were so happy. You know, a lot of times in a single room occupancy, you have people that need to have medication refrigerated. They have children. They need to keep milk. Another great item that we've been able to donate from our hotel are the Mr. Coffees. Periodically, hotels will change out. I mean, they get upgraded from that type of coffee pot situation to an automatic situation. So you have thousands of coffee makers to donate. Wonderful, again, for a small single room occupancy hotel to have a coffee maker in a room that doesn't just make coffee, but you can have hot water, you can make cup of soup, you can make an instant oatmeal and cereal. So again, these types of items that are, we keep them out of the landfill for one thing, that's important. The hotels have the opportunity to remove them, but they're going for what we like to say, a second life and a higher purpose. So how fulfilling is that? I mean, I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity to do that and that the Hilton gives me the opportunity to work with other properties in doing that.
You've been listening to Joe Licata, Community Projects Manager at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. The underbed techno music was performed by Michael Carlin.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Melissa Corbin reporting from Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Song. See, make it maybe, poking the radio, sample the moco, look like a wreck, low,